What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hardcore Troubadour. My name is Brian Wallace.
My name is Tyler Short, and it's been a while since we recorded this. We record these things as often as we can make them happen anymore. And I realize because of that, because we don't record very often anymore, if you like our podcast, you should like it, share it, rate it.
Please do.
We never ask you all to do this. You
Yes.
couple hundred people who listen to every episode. Listen to it so maybe more people find it if you think this is worth other people hearing. If you don't, then you know what? Hoard it, I guess. Keep it to
Yeah,
yourself.
that would be much appreciated. And thanks to those of you who have. It's always nice to see. We've got a few ratings on like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and just
I never
appreciate.
see the Apple Podcast ones because I don't have the app on my iPod because
Oh.
I can't have it downloaded because it takes up too much space.
Yeah, that's a real thing. But for the rest
Gotta
of
be
us,
aware of that kind of stuff
you
when
got
you
to be
have an
aware.
iPod Touch.
It's But some people have said good. I think we have a perfect 5-star rating, actually. So yeah,
Somebody should fuck that up.
yeah, fuck it up.
Fucked
Because like
up.
if you have a 5, it doesn't seem real. But if people put some 4s in there, then like you're a real fan because you'll be like, hey, overall, I really like this. But like they annoy the shit out of me a few times. Like when Brian has to work a Michael Stipe reference into every episode, I
And
fucking
there it
hate that.
is.
Yeah, I actually have one coming up
You have one
in the
planned
future.
today?
Yeah.
Okay,
Well,
cool.
planned, like connected to one of the songs. But yeah, but thank you for those of you, whether you only recently started listening, there are also some like ride or dies. Like Tyler said, this is not a podcast that is promoted heavily, but there are, in the
Or at
neighborhood
all.
or at all, but still that we're in the neighborhood of about 200 of you that listen every fucking time, no matter what. And then a lot more that dip in and out for an episode here and there, I think, based on interest. And we appreciate all of you. So yeah, give it a rating, give it a share. Thank you for the time.
What have you been up to, Brian?
Yo, well, I've been taking one out of the Tyler Short School of Life, and I got a job. I'm working at H Mart, for those of you who are familiar. The premier Asian grocery store.
How many of those are there?
I think across the country there's probably 40 or 50, but
Okay.
they're clustered in, like New York, LA, Chicago.
Are they their own independent grocer or are they part of a
No,
conglomerate or
they're
whatever?
independent. They're owned by
Okay.
a Korean company. I spend my shifts getting like barked at by an old Korean man, and I just nod at him, and he never, I never take out my earbuds. But he, I get the work done. And
That's
so,
so tight. What are you stocking?
dude, all kinds of shit. A lot of Asian snacks.
Okay.
I'm in, I, you know, they don't trust me yet. So I'm all dry goods right now.
Okay.
I'm all just like packaged shit, like on the main shelves. I didn't ask them not to put me in meat.
But you're glad they didn't.
But I'm glad that they didn't. And
Yeah.
clearly I've learned to like, they don't trust me. I'm the token white for now. And
You're a
I
DEI hire.
yeah, that's exactly right.
That's sick.
I do think I am the only non-Asian or Latino person there, at least in my shifts. And then shout out, there's a new adventure every day. I walk by the deli counter, sweet older lady works there. And she just goes, hey, you like spicy? This is like my third shift ever, right? And I'm like, yeah, of course I say yes because I'm, not a fucking coward. And I generally do. She hands me like, a tiny piece of kimchi, like fermented
Tight.
cabbage. I swallow it. I say thank you. And then I bust ass to the back so that she won't see me cry.
Yep.
From the
Respect.
like unreal hot thing that she just gave me, and again, as a person who like likes
Spicy.
spicy stuff, this was just total masochism. Like I could not imagine eating that as part of an actual meal. I think it was like a kind of hazing,
That's pretty cool.
but she always says hello, and it's chill. As the thing is, I'm the better news is I have a I can't say too much. I have a tentative hire for another teaching position
Okay.
starting in September when the school year starts. But you've probably heard me complain on here before, like the state of New York simultaneously complains that we don't have enough quality teachers in certain areas and
Makes it impossible.
makes it impossible, like because my license lapsed, my certification lapsed, even though I've got all the paperwork, all the shit, I've kept it organized or whatever. I've just had to be on the phone for fucking hours with people, like submitting things multiple times. So until all that is set, I couldn't actually get on payroll.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident it's gonna happen. And the person that hired me said they do this bullshit every year where they drag ass all summer, and then like a week before school starts,
Panic.
they get a bunch of upset
Yeah.
people that are like, "Yo, there's not gonna be anybody to fill these seats if you don't get your shit together." And so then all of a sudden, a thing that was impossible 2 months ago gets done in
In a
30,
day.
yeah, in a day.
Good.
So I'm not stressed about it, but you know, I've been out of work for a minute now. I needed
Well, in the
something.
meantime,
And
welcome to the grocery store straight edge, man.
hell yeah, man. But dude, it's
We're a
not it.
proud bunch.
We are, but you know.
I didn't know that was a thing. And then I was in I can't remember if it was a This Is Hardcore or if it was an FYA, but I was talking to Lennon from EcoStrike
Yeah,
and
yeah.
now Face the Pain, which is his best band, in my opinion. But I was talking to Lennon and found out that he is a Whole Foods guy, and then there's a bunch of Florida guys who are all a community of grocery store straight edge, and they said, "Your grocery store
Oh
straight
shit.
edge too?" And I was like, "I didn't know this was a thing." He goes, "Yes, it is.
Hell yeah,
Very
dude.
much as in Florida, apparently."
Well, and do they, so in Florida, do we got a lot of Publix people? I'm
I
assuming,
don't think
or
there were that many Publix. I think they were
huh?
all Whole Foods guys.
Interesting. Oh, the Bezos bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Well, you know who was also a Whole Foods guy that was at one point part of the grocery store straight edge? Jim Hesketh. Anyway, we'll move on
Wait,
from
who's
that.
that?
Man, champion man.
Oh no. Oh dear God. Dude, that's the th dude ch the champion and the champion cancellation has been brought up around me like I would say 3 out of the 7 days. Like 3 out of the past 7 days.
Dude, so me too. Like, I hadn't thought about Champion in a couple of years, maybe. And same, like, something's in the air.
Came up multiple times at the we played a like a day fest in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
On Saturday, Contention headlined,
Sick.
and this Chance, he's sings for that band, What Counts, and the band Full Stride, from Bloomington. He wouldn't stop talking about the champion cancellation for some
Like,
reason. He just was finding it very funny to make people feel uncomfortable by
oh,
continuing to bring it up over and over again.
I was like, not to be out of pocket, but like, why?
Just because he was being edgy.
And also, because it's also a funny thing to think about, like, how many, like, young people, like,
Even though,
neither know nor
yes,
care.
it's strange. Well,
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember, like, youth crew
Yeah.
adjacent and regular hardcore is having a real moment right now, so.
That's true. And I mean, like, you for people that weren't around in the early 2000s, they were a force.
Oh yeah, I mean,
Like,
if they it. I've told you I'm seeing Outbreak covers, right? I've seen one in the past week. I saw No One Cares the other day.
we're probably not far. I wonder, I bet there's been some Betrayed covers that we
Yeah.
like,
If
yeah.
Champion hadn't been canceled, there would be Champion covers
Oh,
right now.
100%, and they'd be sick and they would get a huge response. But you know, that was
There probably are Champion covers being played by people who don't know.
I'd be curious about that, but I
I still
wouldn't.
regularly have to explain to somebody why Expire isn't around anymore. Why an Expire reunion won't happen.
And that was more recent.
Very recent. You can
Yeah.
Google it.
You
Or I
can.
don't know if Google works anymore.
No, you'll get an AI being
I
like
can't wait to see what these AIs come up with the bullshit that goes on in our community and how many people are just like post edgy things that will now become facts.
well, that's the thing. Like, it's like it gets dumber because we're dumb and keep feeding it things that are not true. One last little thing, because I know everybody loves to listen to middle-aged men talk about memes on the
Oh
Hardcore
yes, let's
Troubadour
go. The meme
podcast.
corner.
I saw a
Welcome to
great
the
one
meme
today.
corner.
it was a joke post of like, it was a picture of a dude holding his baby, and he's like, in 3 months, my son, who was born at 7.5 pounds, has doubled in weight. At this rate, by the time he's 10 years old, he'll weigh 7.5 billion pounds. And like, clearly a joke. And then somebody chimes in and is like, this is how tech bros talk about AI.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Unlimited growth.
Yeah. Forever.
Forever.
Yeah, it's fucking cool. Goddamn. I'm trying to think. So much has happened since the last time we recorded this fucking thing.
A lot has happened. I mean, yeah. How are you doing otherwise, man?
I think fine. I think I got COVID on vacation, but then everybody in my store has gotten COVID recently. But it's like the mildest COVID. It's like over in a day or two for most of people, it seems
I
like.
mean, that's good. That was, I feel like, always kind of the hope, right? Was like, we're not going to be able to fully make this thing go away, but let's just make it like a mild annoyance rather than something that shuts the fucking world down. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that's cool. It's a lot better than killing so many people. I
Yeah, I
prefer it.
agree. I agree. I
Hot
prefer
take.
that.
I prefer like an annoying 2 days rather than, thousands, millions of people dying.
Yeah.
I did while we were at the lake, when I got sick, we watched the first four Final Destination movies. You've seen these fuckers?
The first one I saw in the theater, and I don't
You
think
seen
I've
any of the other
seen
ones?
any other ones, no.
Dude, the fourth one looks like it was some of the effects looked like they were done on like an app on your phone.
They might have been.
It's pretty awesome, honestly.
Like the pressure just to churn shit out as quickly as
Also,
possible.
a dude says the N-word and then
Oh.
is killed within minutes trying to burn a cross on a black guy's lawn.
Well, it's I
He gets
love
killed while doing a racism. It's pretty awesome.
that they're creating this fantasy world where there are
Repercussions.
consequences for actions sometimes.
Very cool.
That
Yeah.
rules.
It was pretty cool. I'd never seen any more than the first one, and highly, highly entertaining. Have you seen Beau Is Afraid yet, though?
No.
That's how I. So, part of the shtick in Beau Is Afraid is that like all of your greatest fears are coming true all the time,
Okay.
and that I could not get through like maybe 15 to 20 minutes of Final Destination without just seeing Joaquin Phoenix looking scared in my head. And it was making them way better. So if anybody hates the Final Destination movies and enjoyed Ari Aster's Beau's Afraid, which I haven't seen Eddington yet, but I've heard it's good, I would say you should revisit the Final Destination movies and just think about Beau's Afraid the whole time because it's way more fun.
I will take that under advisement. That sounds like a great plan, honestly. Shout out Joaquin Phoenix, just being one of what feels like a handful of celebrities unafraid to talk about Gaza.
And take some risky roles his
Yeah,
entire career.
that's true too. Going back when they were shooting Walk the Line in Memphis, I never got to see him or meet him. But I know of multiple people who interacted with him over the course of filming and just said that he was the nicest dude. When they were the scenes, that they filmed like on that porch that was supposed to be their like first house where he
Oh,
was,
yeah.
writing the gospel songs and stuff like that. In that neighborhood, they had like had to, basically like blocked off the road for a few days while they were doing that because they could only have like period appropriate cars and
Cars
shit.
driving by, yeah.
And apparently, when they wrapped, he went to every house, like on the block, knocked on the door to like shake hands and just say thank you to all the people there. So,
That's so sweet.
yeah, good story.
Whenever we went. So people they'll just like I think they would just like call the cops eventually, but when we were in Albuquerque one time, we went to see the Breaking Bad house, and some one of the people who lived there like wandered out and was like, "Hey guys, like everything okay?" And we were like, "Yeah, sorry, it's easy to find your house on the internet. I'm so sorry. We just wanted to get a picture in front of this house 'cause we've never been here before." And she's like, "Oh no, it's cool." She was like, "You guys in a band?" She's like, "Yeah, I talked to a band the other day." And I found out that they had talked to Caleb
No shit.
like the week before. She had talked to specifically Caleb. And we were like, "Oh, we know him. That's our friend." But like she was like, God, you know, it's just it's you know, pictures are fine or whatever, just like people will come and throw pizzas on the
The
roof and like
pizzas, yeah.
yes, and like all this shit. And then she was like just very generous with her time and telling us like stories from when they were filming in their house, because they, you know, they came in like it is their house in the show, but they built an entire set of their house elsewhere.
I didn't realize that.
So they had to, but the whole layout of the fake house they built is the same as the house inside,
Wow.
so that things would be like accurate when you'd see them like going in and out. But she said that she was still in touch with Aaron Paul.
No shit. That's good to hear.
He still sends her like letters every now and then and like postcards and stuff.
That's really sweet.
I know, right?
So it's like, so you're saying that's pretty much like it's the Discord house for New Mexico.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But are people really rude to the Discord house?
I don't think so.
I
'Cause
hope
and
not.
well, one, I think if they were, like Ian MacKay would kick them the fuck out like ASAP. Generally people I've heard are respectful, and anyone that's ever interacted with the big man has said that he was like, you know, grumpy but kind. That's kind of his reputation, you know what
Yeah.
I mean? Like he's that's just who he is.
I've seen him once. He did an art show in Louisville, and he was just being mobbed by people who looked so annoying the whole time. So I just
Yeah.
didn't even bother.
I mean, the when I saw Fugazi in between every song, there would be like dudes yelling, "Do you still skate?" And he just which
Pretty cool.
is funny, but I can
Honestly, that's
imagine
a
like
great heckle.
it gets old after a while.
That's pretty badass, honestly. I like that.
tell your friend, fuck you. Yeah, man. So shit's cool. Every time I think about Albuquerque, I think of the time that fuck.
You Righteous Gems, your
Right,
Righteous
yeah,
Gems
when
story.
Righteous Gems
Yeah, your very cool Albuquerque story. And then I
saved
think
the
about my Albuquerque story, which is the last time I got heckled. Yeah, that sucked. Well, meanwhile, Sunvolt was playing next door.
Man, I
Could have
don't
just gone to that. That would have been better.
could have just gone to that.
We should have just
Yeah.
combined the shows, honestly.
Really should have. Yeah, but no, Righteous Gems saved the Gunroom tour. Shout out Albuquerque.
Shout out Righteous Jams.
Shout out Righteous Jams. Hell yeah.
Saw Righteous Jams are a big band getting covered a lot lately.
Again, like, you know, at first I'll be like, what? And then I'll be like, oh, right, that was 20 years ago. Not surprised.
It's fucked up.
I saw the. I think about how Stickman from Fury of Five is a grandfather. Do you ever
That's
think about
tough.
that?
No, I didn't know that, and I didn't need to.
He just did a new one of those like cheesy ass like 10 questions NYHC Chronicles YouTube videos, which are pretty entertaining. And he's like, one, considering that he's about almost 60, he looks great because I don't
He's
think
looks crazy.
he's been around like, you know, even before Fury of Five was popping, like he, you know, mid 80s, like he was around, like this dude, he was talking about his golden era of shows and it was like Bad Brains, Leeway, Circle Jerks, Living Color. Like that was a show he saw in like 85. So yeah, but I remember I sent that video to a buddy and was like, yeah, you know, he's got that man's got grandkids. And I was like, respect, this is where we are.
There's no way I see that late in life.
Yeah, you never
I
know,
mean, A, I'm
man.
not having kids, but I just can't imagine. Can't imagine what this is gonna feel like at 60.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the fact that he, you know, had the dreads forever, got rid of them, and then got them
Got
back.
him back. Yeah.
Yeah, like,
That's
you
a
know,
choice.
he's just, you know, he's living his life. I find him strangely charming.
Dude, speaking of white dudes with dreads, have you watched the History of the World Part 2 yet?
No, I haven't.
The Hulu series that me and Ashton just finished it the other day. One of the final bits in the thing is the Last Supper sessions, and it's like a Beatles documentary, but including Jesus and the like with Jesus and the apostles, and Jesus is it filling the John Lennon role, and Mary Magdalene is filling the Yoko role, and
Sick.
Nick Kroll is playing Judas, and he's a white guy with dreads,
Oh, perfect.
and it's pretty good. They just keep giving
Okay.
him shit for how it's not okay.
Awesome. I gotta
It's
check
pretty
it out.
cool. It's good.
I'm gonna watch it.
It's like 8 episodes, and I would say it's 30% awesome, 30% unnecessary, and then going one way, going the other for the rest of it.
I hear you. Shout out Nick Kroll. I'm gonna see him on Thursday.
Yeah, hopefully he has dreads.
What if
That
he
would be
did?
tr that would be sick.
What if he did?
That would be fucking nuts. That would be like when God, when Will Forte showed up at the was it the Emmys with his head and beard shaved.
Oh,
He had
yes.
the split situation going
Yes.
because he did it
Which
for Last Man on Earth and then just went to an award show like that.
I love it. Well, one last thing on that, and then, let's talk records. Have you seen Will Forte telling the story about his SNL audition?
I don't think so.
So I feel like he's told it in a few different places, but I saw a clip from Amy Poehler's podcast.
Which I've seen clips from that too.
Yeah.
Jim Barron has made me watch some of them while we were lifting weights, and it's a pretty good podcast.
It's good. She's a very good interviewer, very entertaining. He had basically, like at some point, during his improv career before auditioning for SNL, come up with this character that was one of those, like, out in Times Square, he's painted all silver, like the Tin Man, and you give him a dollar and he does like all the robot moves. But he wrote a song where, all this stuff about like his life and how he came to be the Tin Man and all that. And the punchline is that he sucks cock for his face paint. And like he's just admitting to the crowd, he's like, the way that I get the money to buy all this paint that I cover my body in is by sucking dick. And then but it's like a song with like a really catchy chorus. And
That's pretty good.
it's like, and then people come and keep joining in, and he's like, I suck cock for my face paint. And then at the end of his audition, apparently he passes by Lorne Michaels and goes, sorry about all the cocks, man.
Dude, that just makes me think about how many scenes in MacGruber end with him groveling and offering to suck someone's dick.
It's his go-to
Just
move,
go to, yeah. I
apparently.
mean, it's, I guess everybody's got to have a thing.
Shout out Will Forte.
Shout out Will Forte. Good,
So
good.
my friend, we're as we've mentioned before, coming up on the end of Mr. Steve Earle's current catalog. And so today we're talking about a record that came out in 2022.
That's so crazy. We literally have one left.
One left after this.
And it's just the tour I just saw. Like we might want to fuck around and do some bullshit
Yeah.
before we
I
do
think
that.
we do, and I think we will. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about Jerry Jeff, which is a tribute, as Steve has done many of these records in recent years, to the late Jerry Jeff Walker, who died in October of 2020. And just because of the timing, I think in my head, I had assumed it was COVID related, but it was throat cancer, actually.
That'll do it.
So before Tyler, before like digging into this particular, this Steve Earle tribute record, what was your, knowledge of slash fandom of Jerry Jeff Walker?
Fucking none, dude.
Same. Okay. I'm not alone.
I had
Yeah.
never, and I'm actually really disappointed as well that my favorite Jerry Jeff Walker record that I actually really like and ride hard for like most of the tracks on the thing. Not a single one of those songs is on this
Oh,
tribute
fascinating. So
record.
which record is that?
Riding High, I
Riding
believe. It's the one
High.
I got when we were in New Orleans.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Not a single song off that record's on here. And that one is like the most fun one to me.
Okay. So I'm gonna give that one a proper listen. Honestly, other than learning at some point that he wrote Mr. Bojangles, which I had never heard his version of and only heard, some of the many covers. I didn't know much about him at all. Just that he was kind of part of the crew.
I
You
knew
know what
the
I mean?
name. I'll say that I knew the name. But yeah, I mean, you like off of this record, it's aside from a few outliers, Viva Terlingua and Mr. Bojangles are like the primary records that most of these songs come off of, aside from a few songs that I just never heard before this record. And honestly, that was the best thing for this of this record for me,
I agree.
were the songs I'd never heard.
Because I think we've been both like some of the most enjoyable material on this record. And two, I just think as a listener, I wasn't like held down by constantly comparing it to other versions because I didn't know other versions, right? Which I think has been an issue with some of these other, tribute records that Steve's done that we've listened to and really enjoyed, even when I'm trying to just like,
Dislodge.
dislodge, think about it, analyze the track on its own merit. It's just really hard to do when it's a song you're deeply familiar with. And often, especially when you have an affinity for the version you've already heard. And Steve takes some risks when he's doing these covers. And sometimes it pays off and sometimes, not so much, but
I can't wait to talk about the biggest risk that he did on this record, which is interesting. But yeah, this record is I mean, I've heard him talk about it whenever I've seen him, that he had to do this one. This is the last one he had to do. He talks about, he's like, I had three that I needed to do. Whenever he talks about, it's usually when he's playing either Mr. Bojangles or when he's playing one of Justin's songs, he'll talk about how, he recorded the Towns record, and then he recorded the Guy record. And then he thought he would only record one other record of covers, and that would be for, his third mentor, Jerry Jeff Walker. And then his son died, so he squeezed another one in. But yeah, we got the usual squad on this with Ray Kennedy recording it, the Mastersons, and the surviving Dukes, because, what is it? Kelly Looney's no longer with us at this point. I'm trying to look at who is playing bass on this. Jeff Hill, which that name sounds familiar, actually.
It does.
I feel like he's played on something before, but I'm not sure. Because I was doing so much gigging lately, I didn't really do any homework besides just listen to the record a bunch of times in the past couple of days.
Hey man, sometimes that's what you got to do. Well, it doesn't help when I try to do a quick Google search. There are actually multiple bass players named Jeff Hill. Jeff Hill has played with Rufus Wainwright, Shooter Jennings,
Okay.
and Chris Robinson, who I believe is the singer for the Black Crowes,
Oh, sick.
his
Dude,
solo
Black
project.
Crows fucking kicks
Dude,
ass.
Black Crowes fucking kick ass,
Black
dude.
Crows kick
Dude,
ass.
I love the Black Crowes, all right?
Me too. My
Shake your.
mom also, I one of my mom's few requests is that She Talks to Angels be played at her funeral. Kind of a dark song though.
It's a dark song. I
Super dark
mean,
song. I don't think my mom really understands what that song's about, but you
yeah.
know what? We'll play it.
I'm on, I mean, Shake Your Money Maker, excellent record.
It's sick.
It's and I'm on record as saying Black Crowes Jealous Again is better than Black Flag Jealous Again.
I don't like hardly any Black records, honestly.
But it is just funny that in my world there's like two songs by bands that begin with the name Black, called Jealous Again, and I heavily prefer the Black Crowes song. I mean, dude, the cover, the fucking Otis Redding cover, Hard to Handle.
It's unreal.
So sick. What a
It's
great record.
the fact that he does not get tongue-tied singing that is impressive.
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to that as soon as we're done, man. Anyway, so shout out Jeff Hill, bridging a gap, if there ever was one, between Steve Earle and the Black Crowes. For this is just, for trashy white people all over, that's very important. So
For the culture.
for the culture. So shout out Jeff Hill for your important base work.
Do we want to hear what Steve had to say on this
Absolutely.
tribute record?
Absolutely, we
So
do.
Steve writes in the liner notes on this, "There was a time in my life when I wanted to be Jerry Jeff Walker more than anything else in this world. Looking back, it must have been more than obvious that having yet to find a voice Oh, having yet to find, dude, the fucking font he chose for this is difficult on the eyes. I took my glasses off because they were hurting my face just to look at you on a computer screen really close, and now I'm putting them back on to read this tiny ass text.
Are you sure it was the glasses?
And not your face. Damn, brother, you didn't need to go there with yourself.
I look great now, especially now that I,
Now that you've got a job.
now that I've got a job in a fucking real job, not a fucking sit behind a computer job, you know?
Brother, welcome to the working class again. I'm just kidding. You always were. So yeah, Steve says, looking back, it must have been more than obvious that having yet to find a voice or persona of my own, I was emulating my hero, the Jerry Jeff we had all come to know and love, the Gypsy Songman who had arrived at the perfect moment to stand at the Austin epicenter of the latest chapter of the evolution of what was then referred to as progressive country. I had the hat, the old beat-up guitar, and I occasionally showed up at gigs a little more than pre-lubricated than was necessary. Truth is, I had known about Jerry Jeff Walker for what, at that point in my 17 years, was a long time. Before midterm of my freshman year in high school, I was kicked out of every class I enrolled in except for general physical science and drama. The former was taught by George Chambers, who cut me a lot of slack because by night he fronted one of the best country bands in San Antonio area, and he knew exactly what he was looking at. That being said, it was my drama teacher, Vernon Carroll, who turned me on to Jerry Jeff's eponymous solo debut. I never know how to say eponymous
You
whenever I
nailed
see
it,
it.
dude. You nailed it.
Solo debut because he wanted me to sing Mr. Bojangles in a production of The World of Carl Sandburg. We staged that year. That was September of 1969. Sorry, I had to skip from after The World of Carl Sandburg, we, and then incredible picture of Steve with a handlebar mustache and Jerry Jeff Walker. And then I go below that, staged that year.
Great
Probably could
layout.
have laid that out a little bit better, guys, and not cut a sentence in the middle, but you know what? Whatever. It's a wonderful photograph. That was September of 1969. A year and a half later, I had dropped out of school and was playing any place that would let me, which because of my age meant mostly coffee houses. And I learned that Jerry Jeff had passed through Texas on a semi-regular basis for years as he toured the continent by thumb and motorcycle. Legend had it that Bojangles was written in an apartment above Sand Mountain Coffee House in the Houston area, in Houston, that was occupied at the time by none other than Townes Van Zandt. By that time I played Sand Mountain in 73, there was a mural on the back wall featuring images of Jerry Jeff, Townes, and Guy Clark, which I had unobstructed view of, as the room was often virtually empty for my performances. So this record completes the set, the work of my first-hand teachers, Townes, Guy, and Jerry Jeff, the heroes I was lucky enough to sit across the room from so I could listen and learn up close and personal, as they say. The records were recorded and released in the order which they left this world, but make no mistake, it was Jerry Jeff Walker who came first. Steve Earle, NYC, February 22.
And shout out to Steve's drama teacher from
Yeah,
1969.
honestly.
I don't think I've, ever heard him talk
I don't
about
know if you
that.
can see the picture very well through the computer, but
Oh,
isn't that
that's
an
great.
amazing picture?
It's a great picture. I know that era of Steve. It's like I know when he was rocking that kind of loose ponytail and
Yep.
the like handlebar. It he it's like a he looks like a baseball relief pitcher.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like he's
Yeah.
a coming out of the bullpen.
Dude, have you heard have you heard the Shane Gillis bit about Jackie Robinson's first time at bat when sports were ruined for white people forever?
Oh, yes, that is so
He's talking
good.
about the pitcher. He's 38 years old. He smokes two packs a day. He's peak physical condition.
Dude, it's so good.
Fucking awesome.
He also talks about a bit where, like, he does a bit about Alabama's football team, like before they had integrated, and how, like, I guess they were playing like USC, which was integrated, and they came and whooped their ass, and then like all of a sudden the next year Alabama's team is like half black dudes. Like he was like, no amount of like, it's the right thing to do would have convinced them to desegregate, but finally getting their
Get
ass
their
whooped
ass
in
whooped.
football was like, huh, maybe we should let these guys play.
It's so awesome.
Dude.
Yo, you should definitely, if you can find that picture, you should definitely use that as the thumbnail for this
Oh,
episode.
absolutely. I already planning on it.
It was a
Absolutely.
genuinely wonderful photograph. But yeah, my affinity for Jerry Jeff Walker started, 3 years ago when
Yeah.
actually maybe a little bit before, because I might have when I heard he was putting this record out, I think I might have dabbled a little bit, maybe listened to Mr. Bojangles and Viva Lo, La Terlingua or whatever. But I and I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Don't speak Spanish, brother.
Well, you will.
I don't know what that means, but okay. I mean, I'm willing to speak
Hey.
whatever language will just take over this country at any
Yeah.
point in time. Chairman G,
Datos Mijo.
what is God, Fuhrer Scheinbaum, either one. Come at
Earthshine bomb. Well, then, yeah,
us.
definitely Spanish then.
Come at
No,
us.
ya tú sabes, man. It's okay.
But yeah, I'm happy for Steve for introducing me to Jerry Jeff Walker, because I legitimately, Riding High is something I for sure want to talk about on this podcast at some point. But yeah, do we want to get into tracks, or do you got any feelings before we start?
Let's get into tracks. I think you summed it up pretty well. I knew the name. I knew that he wrote Mr. Bojangles. I could not have identified, much else of Jerry Jeff Walker's work, really before this. And so it's again another shout out to Steve for exposing us to the songwriter, because right, like it's different, right? Like obviously there's Justin and all that we talked about in his short but incredible career. Obviously Guy Clark, where we had a million things we could talk about, and where even in things like, documentaries and stuff like that, Guy played such a prominent role. But Jerry Jeff was part of the crew, but also not in the same way. And also just like an interesting story. Like, this is all just from his Wikipedia page, right? Like he's from upstate New York.
Yeah, they've got.
Texan by choice, they called him.
Yeah, they've got he on this thing. It traces him from Oneonta, New York, to Greenwich Village, down to Coconut Grove, to Key West, to Austin, Texas. It's got like a little map
That's
on
cool.
here, which
That's
is
really cool.
pretty sweet.
Yeah. Hell
And
yeah.
is Oneonta, is that where that's like up near
It's near Syracuse.
yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Because I know I've seen the sign before.
Yeah, it is on, I say near Syracuse. It's like between, it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere in
How
terms
far
of
from
upstate New
Woodstock
York.
would that be?
A couple hours.
Okay.
So
'Cause I
yeah,
mean that honestly makes sense, because I mean coming from the
yeah.
like there was just so much folk in the air when he would have been growing up.
Right. It is closer to Woodstock and like Albany than it is to like, Syracuse, Rochester, that side of the
Gotcha.
state.
Rochester.
Rochester, yeah. Shout out to the Bug Jar, where the guy tried to pay us in drugs. The Oneonta, the northernmost city of Appalachia,
Okay.
they call it. Yeah, because I guess that's the, I mean, we call it the Catskills once it
Yeah.
gets into New York, but it's still part of the chain, from Appalachia. So yeah, shout
All
out
right, something in
Oneonta.
common.
Hell yeah. But right on, yeah, let's dig into the tracks.
What are your feelings on Getting By?
I love the fiddle and the steel guitar
Same.
solos, and that's about all that it does for me.
I think it feels like a really organic song to start the record with. I think it's the perfect song to start it, especially like this is a Jerry Jeff song I was familiar with. So I can hear, like, I think Steve has fun
Yeah.
with opening with this song. And I like the backing vocals. I think they really meld in with it. And I think it's got good energy. It doesn't like, it's not making the playlist.
Yeah.
Not my favorite song. It's a good opener,
I'm with
though.
you on that. I think it's a good opener. And I think it's more the vibe and the instrumentation is what saves it for me. Otherwise, it's not a super noteworthy song for
At
me.
this point, I mean, I think Steve just knows what he's doing when it comes to like producing a good version
Yes.
of a classic. And again, it's the thing we talked about all through the Guy record, all through the Towns record, or all through the Justin record. I don't remember if we talked about him that heavy on the Towns record, but the fiddle and steel additions to some of these songs that didn't have that
Yeah.
elevates it a ton.
They do. They do.
So get on to Gypsy Song Man.
Yeah. Similarly, most of my feelings here are about the musical arrangement. The Zydeco accordion always gets me.
Yes, it is unreal on this song. It goes
Yeah.
hard.
And
Accordion goes hard.
that's what I love about it, you
Yeah,
know.
the Cajun vibes on this song is awesome.
Yeah, that's again the main thing. I think it's not otherwise a song that I would be reaching for a whole lot, but I found it to be a very pleasurable listen because it's just like a good ass Louisiana jam.
Yeah, and I like the Jerry Jeff version as well. So like this appealed to me the same way as, white people dance music.
Yeah.
Speaking of, have you seen Sinners yet?
Man, I haven't seen Sinners, but I really want to.
I mean, that's one you got to make sure the little one is asleep when you're watching it, because
Oh, I'm sure.
it is, whew, a
Yeah.
lot going on in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's some white people dancing in that movie, though. It's pretty fucking fire.
It's a what I mean, this is it's Irish vampires, right? Is
Yes.
that yeah, okay.
Yes.
I
I didn't
gotta
know if
see
you
it.
had that spoiled for you yet.
No, I've seen enough to know that that's kind of part of the central theme, and I've heard enough people recommend it.
It is it might be one of the best representations of Irish culture and like black blues culture all wrapped up in one movie.
That's pretty sick. I gotta
It's
see
pretty
it.
sick.
I mean, that's so it's pretty much about me, is what you're saying.
I mean, close.
Yeah,
It's like based around where you grew up.
that's what, yeah.
Oh man. Little Bird.
Let's talk about Little Bird.
I didn't remember this well or this song very well, and it's on a record I've listened to before. So
No
like
shit.
this just wasn't familiar to me.
This is a good song. I feel like of the, you know, I enjoyed the first two tracks, Getting By and Gypsy Song Man. This is the first one though where the lyrics stopped me. The chorus, picture of my face on the window pane, is it tears I see or is it rain? I'm a sucker for shit like that. That's good.
Yeah, that I will say this one grew on me a lot, and I think it was the lyrics that did it. I also really like the violin and the accompanying vocals. I think Eleanor Whitmore does a really good job on this song of elevating it, because I legitimately
Yes.
thought it was a little sleepy when I was just listening to it in the car. It wasn't until I was listening to it this at work that I like kind of like I guess dissociated and just took the music in a little bit more, and wasn't because I get tired in the car, man. I don't know if we've talked
While
about this, where I like fall
you're
asleep
driving?
I like fall asleep at red lights like pretty regularly.
That's not good, man.
It's concerning for sure, but I'm not dead yet, so I mean, whatever.
Okay. That is true. You're not dead yet, but I don't know, man. You can't. Red lights aren't that long, are they? Are they particularly long in Louisville?
I don't know. I just like I'll like just nod off for like a second sometimes.
Well, I guess
I
better
don't fall
there.
asleep while I'm
I was
driving.
about to say, I guess better there than when you're actually in motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Just
haven't
little
had.
micro naps.
Yeah, I don't have to drive nearly as much as I used to, but I have a very one of them feels like 1,000 drives I did between Memphis and Jackson, Mississippi, often very late at night, when Gunroom was gigging a lot, and when we had a period that we were like the house band, like every Wednesday night at a bar called Ernestine and Hazel's, and it was a good gig because it paid, and we could it was the kind of shit too where we could like play our set, but then fuck around, do covers, like work on some shit, that kind of thing. But you know, I'd be driving back at 2 in the morning, and even at that, like, you know, cup of coffee, window down, music blasting, had a couple just close calls, you know what I mean? Where I realized, like, fuck, I fell asleep, and I don't care to do that again in my life if I
Yeah, I mean,
can
I'm falling
avoid
asleep
it.
like in the fucking middle of the day driving.
Yeah, where you'd get a nice honk behind you if the light changes and you don't.
Yeah, I've got my tells when I start like gripping for the back of the headrest, or I start like rubbing the back of my neck. Pull me. You gotta
Pull,
pull me.
okay, yeah.
You gotta pull
We
me at that
need to
point.
make a call to the
Yes, they need to come out. They need to have a talk with me on the mound and get me off,
bullpen.
because I'm gonna start throwing trash.
But throwing that meatball, man. Find somebody out there with a goatee and bring them into this game immediately. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, otherwise could be a sleepy song, but there's something really sweet about it. There's something I really like the lyrics, and like you said, I gotta like Eleanor Whitmore's voice definitely elevates it.
Yeah, no, she put some work. I did my one of my initial thoughts was that Annie Lennox's Little Bird is the superior Little Bird, and I still think I feel that way, but I'm also I just really love that Annie Lennox record.
Man, you know, I don't think I'm familiar.
Diva, it's excellent. You listen
Okay.
to it and you'll be like, oh damn, four of these songs have been played in grocery stores my entire life.
Shout out,
And
Annie Lennox.
they bang. It's awesome. It's a
That's
great
how I
record.
am. I was talking to somebody the other day about Peter Gabriel, and I'm like, dude, even if you don't think you
Know
know
him, you know
Peter
him. Yeah.
Gabriel, you know Peter Gabriel. Yeah, exactly. Let's go to I Makes Money, Money Don't Make Me.
Such a funny song title.
Yeah, this is the first song that I just don't really like.
Really? I think this song's fun.
It's fun. Like, again, nitpicky shit, right?
You're
Steve's voice,
offing.
Steve's voice, Steve's mouth is way too close to the fucking microphone.
You think so?
You've been doing this for almost 50 years, King. You know how to cut vocals in the studio, but I think as he's like, I don't know, you know, he gets a little loose with it, right?
Yeah.
In his
He's
older age.
definitely loose on this song.
And
I'll say that.
this is a song that I think warrants that, right? Like it's not about tight delivery, but there's a few moments where I'm just like, I can feel the fucking thing going red. And I'm like, man, back it off a little bit. Like that doesn't sound good, right? You know, so that's annoying, but it's a nitpicky thing, but I found myself getting annoyed by that when I was listening to this song.
Man, I don't hate this song at all. I think bluegrassing this song was a good move. Because I do like the original as well, but I think that adding a lot of those bluegrass elements into this being the song he does that to on this record, I think was a cool decision. And I don't know. I think this is like Steve Earle making this song fun in a way that he makes things fun.
Yeah, I
But
feel that.
I can maybe I need I feel like I need to listen for this closeness you're speaking of.
I don't know. It's just me ruining things that you love.
That's cool. It happens all the time.
The usual, you know. Let's move over to the big boy.
Is this your favorite song on the record?
It's not, and but that's a good guess because I am a basic bitch and I do love the hits. So I love Mr. Bojangles, but this is not my favorite song on the record.
Yeah, I was torn between this and Gypsy Song Man. So, damn, you're really throwing me for a loop.
No. Well, Have we got to yours yet?
No.
Okay, good.
But can I confess something about Mr. Bojangles?
Please.
I don't like it.
You don't like it.
Just don't like the song, period.
Tell me why.
It's too fucking long.
It is too long. I'll give you that.
It's too fucking long, and I think the song's just kind of overrated, man.
Yeah.
I'll sing along to this fucker, but like I don't not like stoked about it.
It is wild of all the. I think it's a good song. I don't. It is surprising that it has become the like force that it is,
Yeah.
covered by Dylan,
I
covered
don't get
by
it.
Harry Belafonte,
I
the
don't get
Nitty
it.
Gritty Dirt Band.
I don't
Like,
get it.
yeah. So it tells a compelling story, and it's catchy, but like. Of these type of storytelling songs, Steve and Townes Van Zandt both have a dozen that are
Better.
better.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure. And I think one thing about this is this song, the way it is, does not leave you room to play around with it.
That's true too, because
So nobody does.
I
They just
feel
play
like,
it the same.
yeah, other than this is my voice because this is my voice, it's going to
Yeah.
be pretty much exactly the same. And that's how I felt about this. Like I
Same.
still like the song, but
I'm honestly so stoked this isn't your favorite song. I
Yeah,
was so worried it would be.
it's not. Steve, I feel like Steve had to do it,
Oh,
given that
yeah.
it
I
was,
mean,
far and away Jerry Jeff's biggest hit.
lowest hanging
But
fruit.
yeah, but it really doesn't add anything like to the either, to this record necessarily, nor to the canon of the many, many covers of Mr. Bojangles
Yeah.
out there.
Just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I could definitely lose this one
I hear you.
off
Well,
this record. Even if I think Gettin' By is all right as an opener, Gypsy Song Man is good to me. And I like Little Bird and I Makes Money Okay. This is the first one where I could leave it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna reach for it, but I do still enjoy it.
I'm gonna keep guessing when I think we get to your favorite song though.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Hill Country Rain. Tyler, is this your favorite song?
Yes,
Yes, dude, I
you
feel
got
like
me
I
today.
haven't got one in a while.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yes.
What made you? Because dude, there's a lot of things I like about this.
Well, I think this is a fantastic song.
Me too.
One of the things that I think is cool about it is the chord progression takes some turns that I think I wouldn't have expected. Like, I feel like I'm listening to kind of how it goes, and I think my mind is expecting it to go one way just because that's how folk and Americana songs usually go. And he does something a little different a few times. And this is frankly where it's not. Jesus, did you see that?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I didn't
Brian's mic
realize
fell.
my water bottle was like holding the mic stand in place.
That's tight.
And so I was like, I need water, and then the whole thing fell into my face.
Fucking cool.
I feel like a song like this might have influenced a guitar player like Peter Buck from REM. Because they do moves, like, even though like it's very different than an REM song, they do some moves like that sometimes in terms of melody. This is not my favorite song on the record. There's one that tops it for me, but I found myself coming back to this over the course of the last couple of weeks quite a bit. And so really, I just decided that this is your favorite song after you told me how much you hate Mr. Bojangles.
I really like this song. I think it's got a pretty dope vibe. It initially reminded me of something that would be on Transcendental Blues.
I can hear that, yeah.
And I hear notes of like what would influence a songwriter like Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah.
I can hear like a lot of that, like, 'cause this is kind of like this song's poppy. This song
Yeah.
is like very poppy
It's very poppy.
It's cool.
Well,
It stands out on this record to me a lot. And I wasn't familiar with this song, so this is completely new to me.
it also, to that point, it makes me think, like, man, everybody's beaten Mr. Bojangles to death. Why didn't anybody cover Hill Country Rain?
Yeah, straight up. Like I this was one that like when I looked up like which Jerry Jeff record it was off of, it's one I've never heard before, and I'm like, okay, well, I need to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. I also really like the strain he puts in his voice at times on this too. It adds a lot
Yes,
of character.
I agree. I think it does.
Yeah, very cool. Move on to Charlie Dunn.
Let's move on to Charlie Dunn. I mean, this basically just kind of sent me down a rabbit hole learning about the real human Charlie Dunn, who was
A bootmaker.
a bootmaker known as the Michelangelo of cowboy boots. And
Cool and epic.
there are a lot of, cosplay cowboys who nowadays pay a pretty penny to get their hands on a pair of Charlie Dunn
What do these things go
cowboy
for?
boots.
You look any up?
In the multiple tens of thousands.
Holy shit.
And I mean it, 'cause it, and it's also 'cause he died in the 90s, and
Yeah.
after he lived a long time. He lived to be almost 100, and had been making boots in Austin forever. So yeah, literally that's all I have to say about it, 'cause I'm like, oh, okay, cool story. It just makes me, you know what I mean? This is one of those places where I don't know if we're on the same page about this, Tyler, but like, I fucking love country music. I love Western shit. You know what I mean? I love like that genre of American storytelling, all that. I don't give a fuck about cowboy shit, man. You know what I mean? Like,
Okay.
I don't need to know about boots.
I think it's pretty dope that there's a song about the guy who makes boots. I think that's sick. I think it's an unsung hero, like, of the West shit. I think it's cool. This is one of the ones that stuck out to me because I think it's like very fucking Texas. It's got a cool intro. I'd never heard it before. And I don't know. It's like writing a song about a guy who makes horseshoes. Pretty cool.
That's true. Yeah, and I mean, it's probably in many ways like a lost American art. Like this was a true artisan, took great pride in his work. So, I
Also, I'm just
mean,
imagining this guy's book that he mentions that where he's got everybody's like foot size written down.
yeah, that's
A pervert has that book now.
it just says foot book. Like Facebook, but
Okay.
I gotta say,
It's
I
called Wikifeet, actually.
again everything I'm getting from this though is less about the song itself and more just about the story of Charlie Dunn. I do have this like respect, deep admiration, and also envy of people who are like, this is what I'm on this fucking planet to do.
Someone's gonna write a song about me for it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
Respect.
it reminds me of the documentary Jiro Dreams of Sushi. Did you ever see that?
No.
Again, I don't eat sushi. I don't know like tons about it, but it was such a compelling story because it's about this old Japanese man who like
Makes bomb sushi.
makes bomb sushi and
Good
has
for him.
dedicated his entire life to just perfecting the craft. Has one of those like, he has a restaurant in a train station in Tokyo, and that can only seat a few people every night, and people wait years and years to go see him. And but he's not pretentious, you know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah.
feel like shit like that happens in some places, and you're like, oh, fucking, here we go. He was like the most sincere, just about like, this is what I'm on this earth to do, and I want to do it the best I can until I can't anymore. And it seems like Charlie Dunn was the same way, like making boots
For
until.
anybody.
Yeah, right. He and that's Charlie Dunn made boots for celebrities, and he made boots for tons of people who actually like worked in their
Did work,
cowboy
yeah.
boots. You know what I mean? So,
It's super dope.
shout
I
out.
do like I think this song musically is interesting too, though. I think it's just so fucking Texas.
Yeah, it is real Texas.
It's so Texas. Want to move on to My Old Man?
Yeah. What do you got on this one, man?
This song reminds me way too much of The Randall Knife.
Yes. Oh,
It is
man.
too much like the Randall Knife. I can't get over it. So I don't hear this song really. I do think it's kind of delightful, but it doesn't cut me to the core like the Randall Knife. So it will be compared to it, even though
Yeah.
it's just not. It's just it's it the picking, the notes I think are just similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you wonder if it was just like that was Jerry Jeff
Steve,
being like, I got to write one of these.
yeah, I gotta write one of these. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't look up because this is one I hadn't heard before. Or no, I had heard this, but I didn't remember it. But this is off a record before. So honestly, this means Guy would have been aping this.
Oh, no shit.
Because Guy would have written the Randall Knife was that that was in the 90s, wasn't it?
That's right. It was some of Guy's later stuff.
Yeah, and I think this is either Viva la Tierra Lingua or Mr. Bojangles. I can't remember which one it is. But it's one of those two records, and it would have come first, and it's just not as good.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. No, I agree. I mean, I'm just really bored. The song bored me. I would definitely cut it.
Yep, I would agree on that because I just could not stop comparing it
Yeah.
to a different man's song.
Yeah. And that's saying something if that's what you find yourself doing.
So this means The Wheel is your favorite song.
Dude.
What a song this is.
Dude, this song blows my mind.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think the beginning is very strange, like the intro.
Yeah.
But after that, what a cool song. Structurally, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, such a cool song. the strings really add to it. Sometimes I find the addition of like orchestral strings a little bit over the top,
I
but
think we
here,
talked about that before.
but here, man, I fucking love it. And then just like, he beats the wheel analogy to death, but he finds all these
So many
new
ways.
ways to like,
Yes.
dude, the rolling wheels rolling on, taking back all that they gave, taking us all on our way. Like I love that thing. Like they take us everywhere that we can possibly go, and they also take it all fucking back. Wheels.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Also, I really like the tempo of the song. It's cool to hear Steve play a song this tempo.
I agree.
It's not very common. And the vocal rhythms, along with the fiddle, like the way the interplay between the vocals and the different instrument, like different string instruments, is really, really neat. I will say this, the guitar and vocal pattern at times remind me of that super annoying Eddie Vedder song,
Are you talking about?
the Where Where.
Oh yeah, where could my baby
I
be?
fucking hate that song so fucking much. And at times, this song meets up with that almost exactly.
There was a period of time where like
It was on the
the
radio five every
well
5 minutes.
yeah, and it
I
was sort
remember.
of like this the like there was this collection of like off-brand Pearl Jam songs that included that one, Yellow Ledbetter, which is now one of their biggest hits of all time, but which just has nonsense lyrics.
Pretty cool song,
It's a great, I mean, the it's a fantastic song. And then people forget who was the he did this duet with. The song was called Crazy Mary. And I mean, this was the early 90s. Like, let's see. It was on it was a song by Victoria Williams that Pearl Jam covered on Verses, and it was the one, the take a bottle, drink it down, pass it around. You
Oh
remember that?
yeah.
I just remember I liked that song. My uncle, who was otherwise like a very chill dude, he got me into a lot of music. If this song came on, he went into a rage. Like
That's awesome.
it just fucking
Dude.
acted. He was so mad. Like
That's how I felt listening to this fucking Jerry Jeff cover every now and then. I would get real
oh.
angsty listening to every moment that it reminded me of that fucking Eddie Vedder song. And I'm like, no, I like this. I like this. I don't hate this. I like this. I'm pissed.
Now I'm gonna hear it with those. So just like I ruined the microphone placement earlier for you, now the next time I listen to Wheels, I'm just gonna hear that because I didn't make that connection. The other thing I'm remembering about Crazy Mary that my uncle used to hate is there's a part where he's like, little country store with a sign tacked to the side said no LOITERINGA loud. And he was like, that is the shit, to just spell it out. Like you couldn't, that means you couldn't come up with anything good. You couldn't come up with a good lyric. So you're like, what fits here? It's like, whoa, what if I just fucking spelled the word out? Like, and I'm like, dude, what did Victoria Williams do to you, man? Like, I don't even know who that is. He was so
Yeah, this
mad.
song sucks ass. I'm listening to it right now.
Take a bottle. Drink it down, pass it around. It was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, it's not great.
She lived in an old tar paper shack. They did it. Okay, yeah, this was what I thought. Because if you, again, you want to talk about fucking AI being wrong about everything. Like, AI was like, this song was on Verses. And I was like, no, the fuck, it was not. I made my mom take me to Coconut Records in Memphis, Tennessee, the day that Verses came out so I could get the tape. This track was not on it. It might have been on later versions. It was on a tribute to Victoria Williams that,
It is on the Verses that is on streaming.
okay. Well, I'm telling
But it's
you,
after the bonus track.
after the bonus track. So yeah, the,
Yeah. There's several bonus tracks and it's one of the it's the last song on it.
got it. Because it was definitely the same time, but I got the yeah, when I got the fucking It definitely, you know, I had the first tape when it came out in 93, and like fucking loved it. Still one of my like favorite records of all time. This it wasn't on there. But then I learned like Victoria Williams, fascinating if you ever want to
I don't think I've
learn more
ever
about her.
even familiar.
She had MS, which was part of why they did that like tribute
Okay.
for her, because she had been a, you know, professional working musician and then wasn't able to work anymore. She was in Gus Van Sant's Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. And yeah, she was from, in Southern, she's from Shreveport, Louisiana. And just a lot of people loved her. She had a very distinctive voice. The other thing that's just so random that is neither here nor there, why am I rambling about this? Me, Victoria Williams, and Eddie Vedder all have the same birthday.
Oh, hell
So
yeah.
do with that what you will.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out
I'm
Pearl
down. I'm
Jam.
downloading her most popular album on Spotify. I'll get around to listening to it in the next year or two.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. Like it's you know, if she was truly like one of my all-time favorites, I would have talked about Victoria Williams before, but it's something like you like, you know, the it's I love the weird connections. It's like you mentioning that like car wreck fucking 50s doo-wop annoying Pearl
Sucks.
Jam song there just reminded me of Crazy Mary, not being a song that I think a lot of people were annoyed by, but that my very sweet, even-keeled uncle, it would
Was enraged by
send him into a fit of blind rage like while we were driving.
That's fucking tight.
Yeah, so that rules, man. The, you know, 1994, wild year. Hell yeah. So yeah, Wheels is my favorite song. I
Good
say wheel. I
choice.
keep
Good
saying
choice.
wheels. Wheel.
Yeah. Good
Wheel.
choice. Probably my second favorite song on the record,
Yeah.
honestly. And
Respect.
even with all this baggage it's carrying, considering how much it reminds me
As soon as I
of my
finish,
least favorite Eddie Vedder song.
as soon as we're done here, I'm putting on the Black Crowes. And then as soon as that's done, I'm going to listen to Wheel again and see if I can make that obnoxious Pearl Jam connection.
I think you will.
I bet I
Text
will
me.
too. I will. I will.
All right, you want to move on to the bravest decision that Steve Earle makes on this entire record?
I knew when you said that earlier that this was going to be the song you were talking about, Old
Why
Road.
would he end with an a cappella song? I get he's made this work before, but on this record, my guy.
Dude, again, especially after Wheel ruled,
And I've
this,
never heard this song either.
I was like, everything sounds like just weird. Like, okay, I get what you're going for. Okay, a closer, the harmonica,
He's
the
crushed some
road.
a cappella closing tracks before,
He
too.
absolutely has. I mean, and you know, it reminds me of when this is done well, it can be the most perfect closer, like a benediction, you know, like Richard Buckner's Leave and Travel Well. You know what I mean? This shit can haunt you in a good way. This, man, I couldn't wait for it to be over. It's not good.
No, it's not good at all. And I mean, like, I'm just right now, my brain is just fried, because I'm trying to down. It's down the road, right? Yeah, down the road, ending Guitar Town. It's a perfect way to end that damn record.
Perfect way to end Guitar Town. Just this is not that.
Yeah, like props for taking a chance, but yeah, it's choice.
It is a choice
A
indeed.
choice. He
And
made
that's
it.
you gotta it's all of his career, but especially in recent years,
Didn't give a fuck.
Steve doesn't give a fuck. And that's
Nope.
one of the million reasons that I love him. So yeah, it
And
didn't
why I can't
work.
wait for his next record.
Yeah, I totally agree. So yeah, you take the risk. Sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. But again, you know, this is also part of a collection of tribute records that are very personal for him, that he's doing, you know, yeah, for the listening public, but mainly for himself.
Oh, yeah. He did
So
this so he did this in case there's an afterlife.
that's right.
So when he runs into Jerry Jeff, he won't feel fucking bad.
That's as good a reason as any.
That's why he said he did the Guy Clark record, is because he wouldn't have been able to get if there is a hereafter, guy would never let him hear the end of it if he did a Towns fucking cover. record and didn't do a guy
And
cover
didn't
record.
do guy. Hell yeah.
Which is so funny because you like we talked about in the documentary and when we when we've talked about Guy Clark, how much he seemed like he rejected attention but desired it so much.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He wanted
And
recognition so bad, but he just didn't want to seek it.
yeah, that's right. Or it didn't want to be seen seeking it.
Yeah. Which I
But
can respect
I
that.
can respect that. But yeah, Steve knew. Absolutely. Yeah, man. Well, do we know, Tyler, what we have coming up next at this point?
I don't think we do, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna, I don't know where we're going at this. I've got you mentioned earlier, Walk the Line. I had an idea that maybe doing a movie watch of Walk the Line
We could do that.
could be a cool move, or we might have one of your bandmates on soon. Have you heard any
Yeah.
word on that?
I have. We've got a, I mean, I can say it because we've already tentatively agreed. Aaron Dural, who is the other guitar player in Perfect World, has been working on some really cool like country rock Americana stuff that he's writing himself, recording with the help of a guy, Chris Enriquez, who people might remember from the band On the Might of Princes,
Oh, okay.
and who is currently playing drums for Orange 9mm.
Okay.
Was not the, an original member, but he's currently in that band as they've been playing around a lot lately. Shout out to Chaka and that whole crew. But yeah, so they've got some stuff cooking that I think they might be done recording, or if not, done pretty soon. And Aaron is a cool dude with a pretty eclectic taste that is not totally lined up with ours, but that has some overlap for sure. Yeah, so he's definitely a guest that at some point in the not too distant future we will have. But I'd love to think about a movie watch as well. I mean, and y'all, if anybody's listening to this and you have ideas, like, why don't you ever talk about this record, this movie, something like that? Write us. We'd welcome that as well.
Yes, absolutely. Comment on shit. You
Yeah.
tell us what you want us to do. Maybe we will. Because at a certain point soon, we're just gonna start going through other random records, I guess, and
Yeah.
talking about them.
It's gonna be, we're gonna go through all the tapes that I scammed from Columbia House in 1992 in order. I think we would start with Soul Asylum's Grave Dancers Union.
What a
There's
record.
What a record. I think probably Weird Al, the record that he did the Nirvana cover on, that's in there. You know,
Sick.
that was very formative for me as a dude, as a poor kid who loved music of the age that I am, which I, apparently now I'm either an elder millennial or an exennial, because I'm, you know,
Right on the
right on the
cusp.
cusp of Gen X and millennial. You know, the way that they got people is you had to mail the thing back every month, or they would send you another tape or CD that you were paying, you know, like $25 for. I didn't have shit else to do, and I could get stamps, so I sent the fucking thing back every month, and then would like do enough to like be able to cancel my subscription, and then do it all over again and get 10 free tapes.
Fucking
So
respect.
I built a knot. There was Columbia House, and I think the other one was like BMI. But
BMI
I,
makes sense. Yeah,
yeah.
my one of the guy who did Red Baron at my store for a bit was at one point an executive kind of
No shit.
level at BMI before the music industry just destroyed.
And then so he moved into a thriving industry, frozen pizza.
Yeah, he didn't last that long at that either. Cool guy.
Yeah,
Cool guy, but
that's
he
sick.
was one of those people who like when you I would like see him and how like active and moving around he is and I'm like, "Damn, Dean moves around really well. Like he's got to be like this old." Oh no. He's 15 years older than I thought he was. Why is he still working?
Yeah,
Tough.
that's tough. Well, it's because he gave away too many fucking free tapes.
Yeah, because some poor little fuckhead in Mississippi was scamming his ass. Well done.
Sorry, bro.
I have an idea.
Yes.
Let's have a we'll do a mini-sode where we talk about these two most recent covers that Steve Earle has done, the You're So Bad Tom Petty cover and I Fought the Law.
Do we have to?
Yeah, because then
Yeah, we
we can
do.
just get together for like 30 minutes, talk about that, tell everybody what we're going to talk with Aaron about, and then we'll reconvene and have a real episode.
That's a great idea. All
There we
right,
go.
let's do it.
So we can give
Friend,
us a mini-sode in a couple of weeks or some shit.
that's sick. We're
Yeah.
definitely doing that. Good idea. All right, friends, be well. Take care of one another. Free Palestine.
Hell
Peace.
yeah.